I'd like to call a meeting of the House Ag Policy Committee to order. And I see that my first goal was starting on time, and I've missed it already. We're a couple of minutes late, but our tax committee went a little bit late, and the NEMAX committee went late also. So getting a little bit of a late start today. And by the way, we have session coming up at noon, so we want to be out of here by probably quarter two, so we have a chance to get over to the tunnel and get over for session at 12 o'clock today. So welcome, everybody. This is the second of two ag committees. We're going to be having this biennium. Policy meets Wednesdays in the finance portion under Representative Hamilton, meets on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Some of you are in both committees, so thank you for that. And we're going to have some things that we look at together and hopefully have a good year in agriculture. And one of the things I really enjoy about ag is that for the most part it's very nonpartisan. We all agree that this is an important part of our state and our really world economy, and want to do what's best for agriculture and the people that work in the industry, and also those who benefit from having a safe, dependable supply of food around the world. So again, thank you all for serving with us on the committee. The coming 2 years, we should have a good committee. And I would just mention that if you have any topics that you would like to have discussed, this is a policy committee. A lot of very good topics and some controversial topics going on in the world of agriculture. And if you want to have us look at some of those, well, just get a hold of one of us here, the staff or myself, and we'll take a look at getting those on the agenda. So thank you all very much for serving on the committee this year. We're going to try to do as Representative Hamilton does and get things going on time from now on and try to finish on time. A lot of us like our noon lunch break, and we'll try to be out of here by 12 o'clock also, but we have to get going on time as well to accomplish that. We have good staff with us today, and I'd like to go around and all committees do the introduction thing. And by the way, I believe we're televised today on TV, so I wore my best tie. So anyway, we want to present a good image of agriculture to the state of Minnesota. Let's go around and first of all have our staff talk about themselves and how they're here with us and why they're with us and their background. And all of us try to tie something back to agriculture when you talk and give your introduction as we go around the room and mention importance of ag to you and in your life. So let's start with staff. Great staff. On my left is our CA Mark Knisley. Mark, welcome, and tell us about yourself.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Mark Knisley. I've been a House employee for 12 years, going into my 13th year now. I've covered issues ranging from agriculture to transportation to environment, and this is my third stint as a CA now. So I've been a caucus researcher in LA and constituent services writer, and a former FFA member. In yesterday's finance committee, I did bring my jacket down. I forgot it today, but and as I told Chair Hamilton, it is snug, but only in the front where you try to get it together. So
very good.
Looking forward to working with you all.
And again, if you have topics you want to discuss, get a hold of Mark or myself or also my LA and CLA. Tyler, welcome, Tyler, and tell us about yourself.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Tyler Webster. I'm a graduate of the University of Minnesota. I don't have a whole lot of experience with agricultural policy, but growing up, I always lived in the fringe suburbs where we had kids who owned farms and kids who lived in suburbs. So hoping to learn a lot about this. Thanks.
And Tyler's office or desk is right outside my office. I'm 597 if you want to look us up and have any discussions about anything you may want to talk about with agriculture. Moving down the line, Colby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Colby Sullivan. I work for the nonpartisan House Research Office. I've covered agriculture now. This will be my 10th session in agriculture. So if you need any amendments or bills drafted, please let me know. Any policy research also in the agriculture area, please ask me. I grew up in Iowa, so you can't live in Iowa without being familiar with agriculture. I don't have a lot of direct experience myself. I do have extended family that farm, but that's about it for me.
Thanks, Colby. And Colby's been around ever since I've been here, and a very valuable resource to go to talk about the financial issues if you have any bills that may contain money. At the other end, Ken, tell us about yourself and your position.
Certainly, Mr. Chair, good afternoon or good morning. My name is Ken Savory. I'm with the House Fiscal Analysis Nonpartisan Staff. This is my second session here at the Capitol, former employee of Minnesota Management and Budget, as well as the University of Minnesota Board of Regents. So I've, naturally, I cover higher ed here at the Capitol, as well as agriculture, my first year doing ag. Hopefully, my accent has faded over the years. I'm originally a New Englander from the state of Connecticut, right outside of New York City, Manhattan. I live most of my adult life in the state of Maine, which is one of the largest cranberry and potato producers in the United States, so I'm pretty familiar with that sort of thing, but my first year covering ag, and looking forward to the learning all about it.
Thank you again. Is your favorite football team the Patriots or Vikings?
Being someone who lives in Connecticut, naturally it's the New York Giants.
Oh, okay. That's your problem, yeah. Anyway, Pages and other staff, please come forward and tell us about yourselves.
Mr. Chair, my name is Simon Wenzel. I was a page of the last session. I'm not sure what committee I'll be assigned to yet. We have six more pages starting today, actually, which should be up next week with our individual committees, and looking forward to being back for another year at the legislature. So thank you.
Very good. And our two staff people from each party?
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Nancy Conley with DFL Research, and I cover ag finance, ag policy, commerce, and legacy. And I also covered the ag committees 4 years ago. And my tie to ag, I grew up in Montgomery. And that was where Green Giant Company was before it changed owners. And Green Giant helped put me and many, many kids through college. And appreciated the 7 years that I was there to learn about all the different aspects of food production.
Was that like detasseling, things like that? Or
no, I sharpened knives.
Okay.
And I picked bugs out of peas as they came past me. And then I put corn in, the freezer corn when they were bagged up. So I was very good at doing things like that. So
very good. The manual dexterity. And go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Brian Perro. I'm on the Republican research team, formerly legislative researcher out in Washington, D.C., and a graduate of the University of Iowa. In addition to this committee, I also support agricultural finance and transportation. Looking forward to working with everyone this spring.
Ooh, thank you. Pages. Okay, we've done that. Okay. Let's go around now. Let's start, first of all, with my vice chair. Happy to have Mary Franzen, who lives fairly close to where I live, too. Our districts abut each other. Mary, tell us about yourself and your passion for ag and what you'd like to see.
Thanks, Paul. Yes, I'm State Representative Mary Franzen. I represent District 8B, so I have the eastern half of Ottertail County and the northeastern part of Douglas County. I grew up on 80 acres, so we kind of had what we called a hobby farm, chickens, pigs. And then also in my younger years during high school, I was president of our 4-H, the Saginaw Swamp Rats. I have three children, 16, 9, and 7. And agriculture, like Representative Anderson said, I love the fact that this committee is nonpartisan. Some of our committees can be kind of intense, so it's kind of nice that we can all get together. And for the most part, I'd say 99% of the stuff we're going to agree on, and it's going to be great. And my issue, as most people know, is I'm working with Representative Phyllis Kahn on our industrial hemp bill, so I hope to hear that bill in this committee, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and I expect some great conversation, because I do believe that industrial hemp is a jobs bill and would benefit our state very well. Kentucky has it in their state. They're growing hemp. They have the seeds, and I think that Kentucky and Minnesota work very well together. So thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair. The DFL lead on my right is Representative David Blythe. David, welcome.
Thank you, Paul. Happy to be here. I represent 20B, which includes Northern Rice County and Eastern Le Sueur County. So Northfield is in my district, and it's known as the community of cows, colleges, and contentment. Has a long history of agriculture, and Malto Meal is a cereal producer there. And Dundas, a short mile away from Northfield, has a history of renown in the development of flour and was the world leader in various kinds of flower development. And then, of course, Montgomery is also in my district and is also known for flower as well as having had Green Giant there as well. So a rich agricultural history in my district. I'm interested in helping young farmers and farmers who want to get interested in farming and get started in farming and finding ways to provide them with access to land and capital. I want to make sure that we can make that happen. It's my view that if we get more farmers on the land rather than fewer, that's better for small towns and better for rural economies.
Thank you much. And now a treat to Representative Susan Allen. And you're not from typical farm country, but welcome to our committee, and tell us about yourself and what you'd like to see this year.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I represent South Minneapolis, District 62B, and we do have organic local farming, very small plots, and there's actually a couple of restaurants where the entire menu is from organic farming. So, and they, I know they in summertime they employ a lot of kids from the neighborhood. And I grew up, my mother was grew up in a family of cattle ranchers in Rosebud, South Dakota. And as you know, I have dual citizenship in Rosebud. And so there's a history of agriculture in our tribes with assimilation policies where farmers were was part of the assimilation policies. So that was something. So agriculture is a major economy and a lot of reservations and cattle ranching. And I grew up, I come from a background of food justice, and so that's what I bring to the committee as well. So thank you.
Thank you very much. On my left side, Representative Mark Anderson. Mark, tell us about yourself.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mark Anderson, I represent District 9A, which is Southern Cass, Wadena, and Todd County. The majority of my district is ag land, although the eastern side of Cass County does include the outdoor recreation area, the Brainerd Lakes area. I actually live in that part of the district. But my focus with being on this committee is especially to represent the farmers in my district. I hear a lot of concerns from them as far as over-regulatory type things, and hopefully we can address some of these things in this this committee. I, as a profession, I'm a pilot, and then my wife and I also just opened up a brewery up near Gull Lake. The name of it, we did name this place in honor of the Gull Lake Dam. It is called Gull Dam Brewing. There's no swearing. There's no taking the Lord's name in vain in that name. Even based on the spelling, we're politically correct. So that's just our next venture to use a lot of the Minnesota products to make our own beer.
Thank you very much, Representative. Going down my list here, alphabetical order, so we're kind of skipping around a little bit. Representative Jeff Backer from about as far west as you can get in our state, huh?
Yeah, I'm as far west as you can get in Minnesota. There's that hump, bump, tip, elbow, nose that's on the western part. I'm right on that tip, and Representative Marquardt used to represent that district before redistricting Travers and Wilkin. I represent seven counties, which is Wilkin, Travers, Big Stone, the only district that is next to two states, North Dakota and South Dakota. Along with that, Grant County, Stevens, half of Pope, so my neighbor, Paul Anderson there, and then eight townships in Douglas County. And totally, I have 101 townships, so it's a very much ag base. Like Representative Bly, I would like to see small family farmers, encourage young families to be farmers, like Representative Anderson, I like to see less regulatory on our farmers. I heard that campaigning. In our district, you do go out to the farms, and you door knock. And if you get 20 in an hour, you're doing pretty darn good. So, but that's some of the concerns. And background, I've lived in Browns Valley, Minnesota all my life. I am a business owner. Growing up, helping farmers, picked a lot of rock during college, hauled hay for a lot of farmers, and that's who I am. Thank you.
Thank you. I can just attest to Representative Backer's driving ability. I had to catch a ride home last Thursday because my wife had taken our car home, and Jeff was kind enough to wait for me. I had a meeting, and we left here about 2 o'clock and got to St. Michael Elbertsville about 4:30. It was about a 2.5 hour nail gripper, as the roads were pretty slippery on the freeway going out to, going out that way at least.
Yeah, and Paul still will ride with me, so that we did okay.
We did a lot of bonding that afternoon and evening. Next, distinct pleasure to introduce Ag Finance Chair, Representative Rod Hamilton. Rod?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to be here as well. And, you know, I don't know if I'm really excited about a Con Franzen bill or not. I don't know. Is that something that we get behind or run? That's kind of a odd combination, but I like it. I like it. So, no, I'm very excited about being involved on the Agriculture Committee. You know, everybody has a passion for certain things when they get up here, right, and focus on things. And two things that I truly enjoy are agriculture and health and human services are the two areas that I like to focus on as well. And I'm excited about being able to chair the Ag Finance Committee, excited about being on this as well. And we have a lot of good people. And I really like the cross-section of folks that we have on here, you know, all walks of life, if you will, all geographical locations across the state, and that's exciting. So I'm happy to be here. Thank you, Mr.
Thanks, Representative. Next is Representative Clark Johnson. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I, to be honest, one of the reasons I asked to be on this committee was I knew you were going to be the chair. I look forward to working with you. I represent District 19A, which is all of Nicollet County. I think St. Peter's is our county seat. Part of Mankato, and then Mankato Township, just north of Mankato and Kasota Township. Agriculture permeates my district, both rural and urban. In the rural area, we are leaders in growing corn, beans, raising hogs, and many, many dairies. And so it's a pretty extensive, very important agriculture industry in terms of producers. Mankato is a center of value-added agriculture and has been for decades, and really looks to provide a lead in the state, or certainly in our region, towards promoting that. And I'm attracted to that partly because that gives really some very important opportunities for people who aren't from the farm to be involved in this dynamic industry, and I think that, that those work together very well. I'd like to mention two other areas where we were involved with agriculture in Nicollet County. One is in North Mankato. We host South Central College, which has an ag education program, and I'm actually holding a bill here, which is a capital investment bill, to improve the facility in order to do that. If you know, see me if you want to sign on. I'll be dropping that this morning. But the other thing is I just want to mention the St. Peter Food Co-op, which is really a leader in our region in terms of a lot of the issues with in terms of food quality, eating well, and from that end of it. And it's an important institution and surprisingly important institution in St. Peter and in our region. So I look forward to working on this committee. I was on this committee last session, and I look forward to working with all of you to promote the interests of agriculture throughout Minnesota.
Thanks, Representative. Next, we have Representative Dale Lewick. I've just had a chance to meet Representative a couple of times, visit with him, and he's really a hands-on producer, and we're going to really value his input on a lot of areas as they relate to livestock and such things like that. So welcome to Representative Dale Lewick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Dale Lewick, I represent Aiken County and most of Crow Wing County, most of the rural portion. That's, I don't know, I quit counting after about 80 townships. Our biggest two cities, and it's almost a draw, is Crosby and Aiken. They've got almost the same population, but nothing like we have down here. I grew up on a dairy farm. At the same time, my dad worked in the iron mines on the Cuyuna Range. And in those days, they didn't mine too much in the wintertime, but through the summer, he was gone 10 hours a day, usually 7 days a week. And that was on the job. The rest, you know, it was an hour and a half to get over there on those roads. So actually, it was my younger brother and I and my mother that did a whole lot of the farming at that time. We learned a lot there. My wife and I raised beef cattle there on actually a part of that farm originally belonged to my grandfather. I've got a son and a grandson that actually I own no bulls. How do you raise beef cattle with my son and grandson? They've came into the operation. They're several things that really bring me to this committee, and one of them, a little known thing about Aiken County is that we still have over 90% of our pre-settlement wetlands. Now, you know, that's pretty notable. You have to consider that the other 8 to 10% that's was a wetland before settlement, it's almost 100% ag land. So we have to be very careful about how we mitigate, because at the rate we're going, we could very easily go over 100% in Aiken County and wipe out a huge amount of the remaining ag land. So it's a very sensitive issue. And we're right next to the mines, which I absolutely support mining, but we've really got to strike a balance there, because we're caught in the crossroads. Another area that concerns me really from a public safety, and this is about rural Minnesota, not just ag, is the slowness with which we're dealing with permitting pipelines. And that first is a huge public safety issue for my district, because I've got small towns with Burlington Northern running right through them, and the crude oil train situation, we don't need that. So we you know, and that's not the that didn't even mention the problem with moving grain and coal throughout the state, which really hurts our agriculture committee or agriculture community. And then those general regulatory issues in the livestock area. We still have some real tension within livestock production, and the state and federal regulatory things that we work with. We need to remove some of that tension. We're all on the same side on this, but we do run into some issues yet on particularly on the four-leggers, as I say, whether they're swine or whether swine, beef, or dairy. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to this. Had some experience working with Farm Bureau and the Cattlemen's Association over the years, and so I'm sure they'll keep me out of trouble. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Representative. Next is Representative Paul Marquardt. Just joking before, I think we're following each other around. We serve on the same committees, I think. So, Representative, welcome to our ag policy.
Well, thank you much, very much, Mr. Chair, and appreciate being able to work with you this session on this committee. And I represent District 4B, which is all or parts of Norman, Clay, and Becker County in northwest Minnesota. I was born into a farm family in rural Clay County. My parents retired from farming when I was about 5 years old. But in our area, the ag industry is crucial to the economy. And the major goal for me is to make sure that it continues agriculture to be a very viable part and a huge part of our economy in the state. And a little background, I've served on the Agriculture Policy Committee, but it's been about 10 years, and was appointed by Governor Plenty, Representative Blaine, and myself to represent the House on the Livestock Siting Task Force. That was back in about 2003, 2004, something like that, and worked on a number of those issues dealing with feedlots and so forth to try to streamline that process and actually create a template or more predictability for livestock producers who want to expand and so forth, because there was a huge hodgepodge all around the state on restrictions and so forth. So hopefully it made a good influence or made some beneficial strides for livestock producers. So pleasure to be on the committee.
Thank you,
Chair.
Just a personal note, my son went to Concordia College and he went into teaching. He's, by the way, the same one that's been down here as a chaplain the last couple of years. But anyway, he student taught for Representative Marquardt maybe the first year you came down here, was it very soon anyway, but my son spoke highly of you, your teaching ability, and your classes there. So again, thank you very much. And my son wrote a book, and he bought one, so that was really good.
Mark Erson.
Anyway, next up, a fellow fairly close in that same area, Representative Bud Nornes. Bud, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Glad to be on this committee. I think this is the second term that I've served. Poppy, you were the chair last time I served on ag policy, and I come from an ag background, too, like most of us have, and it's been really a good committee to serve on. I represent 8A, and I have to think about that carefully because it was 10A for many, many years, and now it's 8A, and it's just the west half of Otter Tail County, so when I here you're talking about multiple counties and multiple townships. We have roughly half of one county, so I feel very fortunate to have it. And I could add it's the best half, but it's the half that has the biggest lakes. Although I do share half of...
I have more lakes than
I suppose. But I do have half of Otter Tail Lake, and I have half of West Paddle Lake. But it's an area that's very unique because of the amount of lakes, but it also has excellent farming. The versatility of my region is about as versatile as you can get. And agriculture has always been a big part of that. I owned a radio station and was in that business for a long time. And the thing that was unique about my area that I was working in was the agricultural economy, because I don't remember in all the years, and I go back to 1966, that was when I first moved to that community, where we talked about recessions and downturns, because agriculture seemed to be pretty stable, and that was a real solid part of our economy. So we never really had the severe ups and downs that other parts of the country and even the state probably experienced. So going back to where I grew up, I grew up in a very small town, and since we have a Webster in the room, I thought it was appropriate to say that Jack and Keith Webster farmed right up to our house. I lived on the edge of town, as far, you know, and right in the backyard was the Webster farm. And so I grew up as a kid watching these Websters and their John Deeres going up and down the field, thinking that's what I wanted to be one day. I wanted to drive one of those tractors. Well, as I grew older, the only farm or the only jobs available were on farms. So I was hired by various farmers to load hay, plow, cultivate, haul grain, the whole package. And the only thing all of the farmers around there had anything but a John Deere. In my entire life, I've still not driven a John Deere. Everything else, but not a John Deere. I do have a John Deere lawnmower. That's as close as I can get. And in my community, we also have a community garden. Somebody mentioned that. And the hospital has kind of been the driver behind that. It's a huge project and a very successful. And I think it's going into its third year now. So agriculture is important. I don't have any specific ideas or needs other than what's already been spoken. But again, in my area, it is continuing to be the main economic driver. And I go back to my little hometown of Beltrami for just a minute. That town used to be in its early years, one of those, you know, everything from banks to, it had everything available. Today, due to fires and how rural towns go, agriculture is the only thing left in that community, and that is growing. The jobs in that town are all ag-based, and they're good jobs. And thank goodness to the railroad that still goes there. They have built up a huge storage capacity, which will, for the future, again, sustain that town. So, thank you.
Thank you. We're going to hear later on about some of those job opportunities in agriculture, but that's an excellent point. Next, a lady who is an extremely strong ag supporter, chaired this ag committee last biennium, a good friend of mine, Representative Jean Poppe.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. I'm pleased to be serving on this committee, and yes, I very much enjoyed the opportunity to the last 2 years to be able to chair ag policy. I note that there is a lot of diversity, but I believe that I am the only one who represents an area east of Highway 35 and maybe south of Highway 94. I represent District 27B, which is Maurer County, and I don't think there's another southeastern Minnesota representative on this committee. So I appreciate the diversity, but I think it's pretty pretty northern-based, maybe, not so much southern-based. I know I've got some southwestern people here, but so I'll claim that southeastern Minnesota is the region I'm representing here, but in the area that I represent, District 27B, if you've not served with me before, maybe you haven't heard this story, but I represent Spamtown, USA, and Spamtown, USA is Austin, Minnesota, and it is referred to such because Hormel Foods Corporation is headquartered there, is home there, and we do make Spam, and and I would invite you to come down sometime, certainly. I'd also invite you to come to the Spam Museum, but I'll tell you that the Spam Museum is currently closed because they have closed the location that it was at because the corporation is taking over that part, and they're building a new Spam Museum downtown. So in 2016, perhaps, we'll be able to go down and visit in Austin. But certainly there are a lot of farmers, ag businesses, implement dealers, you know, people that are related to agriculture in that area. And we also are home to the Hormel Institute. And I only mention that because it, you know, we're very fortunate that Hormel Foods is there and to have a processing location there and to be headquartered there, but also we're very fortunate that the Hormel Foundation exists, and that's a family foundation that really began the Hormel Institute in 1942, and the institute is a cancer research institute, so it's part of the University of Minnesota, and that's a little bit different from, we hear about the University of Minnesota and know that there are satellite offices and whatever, but the Hormel Institute is cancer research, and that's growing. And that employs a wide diversity of people, scientists from across the globe who actually are doing cancer research. And so it's Austin's a very a wonderful place to raise a family and a good place to live and grow the businesses. But I'll also mention that I grew up in southeastern Minnesota in Houston County, which is the southeasternmost county of Minnesota. And it's a where there are hills and valleys and a hardwood forest. So, you know, there's some diversity in throughout southeast Minnesota. So, but I very much appreciate Chair Anderson being able to serve with him on this committee because I think he's just such a respectable person and such a fine gentleman, and I enjoy the opportunity. So thank you, Chair Anderson.
Thank you. Sound like it could be a possible field trip down to Hormel.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you'll do very well representing southeast Minnesota on the committee. Next, Representative Jason Rarick, and welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I represent District 11B, which is Pine and Kanabec County, right between the Twin Cities and Duluth. My background with agriculture, is growing up, I spent my summers helping my grandfather bale hay, fix fence, clean barn. Fortunately, he was done dairy farming by the time I was old enough to help, so it was just beef cattle. And then in 1995, I ended up buying my grandfather's farm from him, so I live there yet today. Raised horses there for about 5 or 6 years, but currently I'm not involved personally with farming anymore, but let some of the neighboring farmers use my land. So. In my district, we have a lot of people who commute either to the Twin Cities or Duluth, but yet the local industry still is a lot of small family farms, and that's one of my concerns, is to make sure that we do things here that will help keep them viable and be able to pass the farms on down through their families.
Thanks, Representative. Next is the southwestern part of the state, Representative Joe Schumacher. He and I have been together seatmates on the House floor for, 3-4 years, and we teach each other things. His area of expertise, of course, is long-term care, and I like agriculture, so we've kind of been bouncing things off each other and made each other better. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I have to note with that you did request to move your seat last year because you were sitting right next to me. You didn't want to do that anymore. So thank you for that. I'm Joe Schumacher. I represent District 22A, the southwest corner of the state, Laverne, Pipestone, Slayton, and that area. I actually live closer to Omaha, Nebraska than I do to the Twin Cities, to kind of put that in perspective on where I come from. I don't have much of a strong ag background, but the district is incredibly agriculture-based with the industries that it has. The technology that they're being innovators on down there is just exceptional. And whenever I let my constituents know that I don't have a very strong personal ag background, they are always willing to give me some work boots and gloves and to get to it. So I've been fortunate in that way and look forward to getting back on this committee. I had a 2-year hiatus from
from any ag committees, and so reacclimating myself to this is something I'm looking forward to doing, and basically just standing up for the small family businesses that are our ag communities, and we'll look at things with that perspective. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. The reason we moved apart is I think I taught him all I could in agriculture, and and now he's on his own. So. And Representative Jennifer Schultz, welcome.
Thank you, Chairman. I represent an urban area, East Duluth, but we have several issues that are coming up. One is their seed library, so I think this committee will be hearing that bill. I want to make sure that we can continue the seed library exchange program, which is very important to our community. The other issue is we have a lot of honey producers in Duluth, so I want to make sure that we protect our bee population. We also have a strong local food movement, and so I also support investing in family farms and getting more young people back to farming and the farming community. I'm a member of a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture Food Farm, and I want to make sure that those CSAs thrive as well in our state. And I'm eager to learn more because this is not my primary background, although my grandparents did own a hobby farm in Wisconsin, and so I spent many summers there, but I'm not much of a farmer or a gardener. Sorry.
Thank you very much, and welcome. A little bit about myself. I live, my district is next to both Representative Franzen and Backer, about 150 miles northwest of here. My area is kind of between St. Cloud and Alexandria, kind of along the freeway there. And I get off at Sauk Center and head west about 30 or 40 miles. And it's really hard slowing down when you get off the freeway to go 55 on that highway. And it's noted for a high rate of stoppages by law enforcement on that road. So just a warning. Anyway, I'm an active farmer and used to raise cattle, had a beef operation when our kids were still at home. And when they left the farm, the cattle were kind of right behind them. And they got tired of fencing. We have a lot of water areas in our pasture, and fencing through water in the summertime can get kind of difficult. So I don't miss that part of it, but on a nice spring day when the sun is shining and there's no wind blowing, kind of miss having those little calves scampering around the yard, and it's just great to see that. But so now we just raise corn and soybeans and a little bit of wheat, and it just amazes me how the ag economy is in a constant state of movement. The last 3, 4, or 5 years has been very good for crop farming, corn, soybeans, I'm sure you all know that. Livestock, on the other side, those input costs were high for those people. But the last year or so, that's totally switched. As farmers are wont to do, we do a tremendous job of production, and we produce too much, and the price comes down, which has happened to both corn and soybeans. But livestock in that kind of void of price has picked up and has been very profitable the last year or so, although some of those futures prices are showing signs of coming down as well, especially dairy. The futures prices for dairy are trending down for the upcoming months as well. So it's amazing. This industry is just alive. It's ever-changing, and it's just fun to be a part of it. And looking in the audience at some of our young people there, you're heading into an extremely exciting time in your work careers, agriculture. I kind of feel like I'm passing the torch, so to speak, to you folks who have grown up with technology and things like that. And it's just exciting to see what's ahead for you in the world of agriculture. So thank you very much, all of you. Interesting to hear the variety of interests, passions, and in areas where you're from, all across the state. You all have a copy of our committee rules, and you can do with those what you want to take a look at them. We want to run a loose committee, informal. Maybe informal is a better word, not loose. But we're gonna be here on time and try to be on time, both beginning and ending, and discuss things in a friendly, nonpartisan way, hopefully. Although your bill, your first up, Mary, could be interesting. Anyway, in the amendment rule, let's try to work with that 24-hour rule But we'll use the discretion of the chair to work around that if we have to, if it's a pertinent amendment. So, I don't anticipate a lot of problems with the rules and such, but they're there for us anyway. Moving on now, any questions on procedures or rules or anything like that in the committee? Good. Moving on. And again, we want to be out of here by about 2:15. And just a heads up, I guess, we only meet one day a week. And once we start getting into bills and such, that one meeting a week can kind of catch us up on deadline quickly. So if you have ideas and bills you want to have heard here, try to get them in as early as you can so we can schedule those and not have to go to a night meeting. We will if we have to, but again, one meeting a week could be pressing as we approach that first deadline come, what, is it March? Something like that? Sometime in March. Usually it's in March, yeah. When you have to have that, you know, for you freshmen, your bill has to be through at least one committee by that first deadline. We had some great people coming in yesterday with Ag and FFA. We have some more today, students as well as instructors. So come on down and inform us on what's happening and what's going on in the world of young folks and FFA and job opportunities in agriculture. If you're a familiar face, welcome and identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Some of you noticed me yesterday, and I'm back today, so you can't get rid of me too fast. But my name is Brady Wolf, and I am serving as this year's state FFA treasurer. And I would like to just share a little bit about my FFA experience, my story, and where I come from in FFA in the state of Minnesota. So as some of you may have heard, just bear with me, as you may have heard it yesterday, but there's some new faces in the crowd. So currently, I am attending South Dakota State University. I'm a freshman there. I am attending a two-year program for General Ag, where I can mix and match my classes to kind of make a well-rounded education, where with that, I plan on coming back home to our family farm right outside of Starbuck, Minnesota. And so I have a few representatives here from my neighboring area, so that's good to see. And with that, plan to come back home to the family farm where we have about 350 beef cows that we calve out every year, and we should have some cows starting to calve right about now. So can't wait to get back home to that and start off the year with some great calving. But as I mentioned before, I started FFA in 2010, my freshman year, the summer before I was a freshman, and with that, I became very active. I kind of hit the ground running as both of my brothers were in FFA and my father was also a little bit involved with FFA in his high school career. And so I served as chapter officer for 3 years. As my senior year, I served as the chapter president. And then I served as Region 3 officer, which is follows I-94 from up by Breckenridge down all the way to St. Cloud. Is my region, and so I served as the Sentinel and Vice President there, and now I'm currently serving as the State Treasurer. And some of the activities I participated in my FFA experience, I was in general livestock judging, and then also I did some parliamentary procedure, and I did my creed speaking, so I memorized a 5-paragraph FFA creed and recited that, and then also answered some questions about the creed. And also, my SAE, or Supervised Agriculture Experience, was working on my family farm that I mentioned previously. And so that was beef production placement. But then also, I have a little pet project of entrepreneurship also, as I bought my first cow from the National Western Stock Show in Denver, Colorado. And with that, I've had a calf out of her, and then she's had a calf too, and I've did some embryo transfer work with them also and sold some embryos to my father and also to Australia. So that's really exciting for me. And so with that, kind of moving on to FFA as a broader perspective in the state of Minnesota, we have a little over 10,000 members. So me as my state officer team of the 6 of us represent those 10,000 members from across the state. And we also have 191 FFA chapters across the state. We are split up into 8 regions. I mentioned my region before. So there is 8 regions across the state that kind of represent those members. So we work with the state officers and then the region officers, and then those region officers goes down to the chapter officers. So we definitely try to get every one of those 10,261 members represented throughout our whole state. And then, as you can see, there's the three-circle model down below in your handout, and I will let the two experts that will be coming up here later talk a little more about that. But FFA definitely focuses on 3 components, premier leadership, personal growth, and career success. With the career success, I mentioned my contest that I participated in are our career development events. We have a broad spectrum of career development events where students can learn many career skills that can help them in their future, even if they are not going into an agriculture job. And then also the personal growth side of things. We definitely learn a lot of skills and grow as a person exponentially throughout our years in FFA, and I can attest to that for sure. As I was saying yesterday after our committee meeting, in 8th grade, I stood up and spoke in front of a class, and my face would turn beet red, and I could barely get words out of my mouth. And I would never want to be sitting in this seat right now if I was in 8th grade. So it's definitely helped grow me as a person, both in speaking abilities, things like that, and just knowing who I am as a person. And then premier leadership, as I mentioned, with the chapter officers, region officers, and state officers. So many different opportunities within FFA. And FFA, I'd just like to say, is a co-curricular activity with ag education. So we're not extracurricular, we're co-curricular. So we work hand-in-hand right at an even level with ag education. So if there's any questions.
Well, Brady, I think I can speak for the entire committee when I say you are a great ambassador for agriculture. So keep it up and be a voice for agriculture. Questions, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Wolf. I really enjoyed the reception the other evening with FFA, and I thoroughly enjoyed my conversation that I had with you. And I'm going to ask you to share just briefly the story you told me about how your family is working with, I believe, the Fish and Wildlife Service and using your cattle to interface with their management of native grasses. And if you would share that, I think the committee would find that interesting.
Mr. Wolf.
Thank you, Chair and Representative Johnson. I know my dad would definitely be proud of me for mentioning this and to the Ag Committee, because it is something he is very passionate about. But we thoroughly enjoy it. We work very closely with our Fish and Wildlife Services in our local area with grazing our fish and wildlife land, because we believe that not only can you use fire to manage your prairie, you also can use a herd of cattle, and that definitely stimulates your seed growth and simulates your buffalo that used to roam the land here in Minnesota. And so we like to see our cattle out there. They do many great things for the land because they're putting in, they're compacting the soil and pushing seeds into the soil, and we see more growth. And then also when you burn the land, you're ruining those nests that the pheasants have created, but your cattle will walk right around those. And so we think it's great for the prairie, great for the wildlife on that prairie, and it kind of creates a more natural habitat for that. So we're really excited working with the Fish and Wildlife, and it's a new project, and it's been going great for us.
I could just add, one of those pieces of ground you have done that to was right across the township road from my farm, and it's so nice to see cattle out there in that grassy area and getting some benefit from it, and also, as you mentioned, the benefits that it does for the grass stand and the land there as well. So that is a win-win program that Fish and Wildlife and the DNR is doing also to some extent. So just that's a very good program. Thank you. Thanks for that question, Representative. Any more questions? Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just have a question. I understand the co-curricular and maybe the advisors will be able to answer this maybe better, but just that the FFA, I know I talked to some students, or at least one student at the reception, who talked about not having an ag instructor in his school, so he's not able to be a member of FFA unless he's able to take classes. And I wondered, you know, certainly we need more ag educators in this state, and we need to be able to educate more ag educators so that we have people who are able to do that throughout the state. But if you could just talk a little bit more about that, how that works, that co-curricular aspect of FFA.
Brady. Thank you, Chair and Representative Poppy. That is a big issue because there are definitely students in schools that do not have ag education programs that want to be a part of FFA. And one of the requirements in FFA is you have to take at least one ag class every year. So that is a challenging requirement to meet if you do not have an ag education program in your school. And I know Randolph, for example, the Randolph FFA chapter is very good at this. They take in students from other schools and have night classes. And also, in prior years, my ag teacher has been offering online classes, and then these online classes could be taken by students in neighboring schools. So that's one way we approach that issue. But what we would like to, in a perfect world, have an ag teacher for every school, so we don't have that issue. But we're definitely trying to find ways to work around that, because I believe, and we believe in FFA, that every student should have the opportunity to have an ag education class and have an opportunity to be in FFA.
Any further questions? If not, Brady Wolf, thank you very much, and keep up the great work, and good luck with your operation.
Thank you.
Next, we have Amber Siebert. Siebert, hopefully got it close to right. Okay. Welcome, and state your name correctly then for the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Amber Siebert. I'm the ag instructor and FFA advisor at Fairmount Area Schools. With me is Mr. Eric Sawatsky, the ag instructor and FFA advisor at DAS Cokato. Before I get started with our testimony here, I just wanted to make a quick shout-out, I guess, to the members. I enjoy seeing a lot of members from northern Minnesota. I'm currently living in southern Minnesota, but I see a lot of members here from my home area, which is Wadena County, so... Really nice to see everyone here today. I have been teaching agriculture for 5 years, 2 years at Sauk Rapids Rice High School in central Minnesota, and the past three at Fairmount. I began teaching at Fairmount Junior Senior High School in the fall of 2012 when the school district reinstated its agriculture program after a 25-year hiatus. We are the largest school district in one of the most agriculturally productive counties in the state of Minnesota. We graduate around 120 seniors a year. Fairmount hasn't had an agriculture program since 1986, when the program, like many in the state of Minnesota at that time, closed due to a lack of interest or lack of funding or a lack of a qualified ag instructor. No one really remembers the reason, and it doesn't really matter. In 2011, the key members of the local ag community began to discuss the possibility of reinstating the ag program. They approached the Fairmount superintendent and asked what it would take. He threw out a number. $300,000, he said, to fund the initial startup of the program, including capital items and the teacher's salary for up to 3 years. This group of highly motivated individuals raised over $350,000 in about 8 weeks. Over 70 local ag businesses and individuals have donated money towards our agriculture program, and the school district has now committed to taking over funding of our ag program. Through our ag program, Fairmount offers a variety of classes in areas like agriculture business, animal science, plant science, small animal care and management, landscaping, and wildlife management. Part of the reason I love my job is because I don't teach the same thing all day. Every day, every hour is different. For example, yesterday, my second hour plant science class worked on building hydroponic systems. Third hour, exploring ag, made trail mix using proper parliamentary procedure. During fourth hour study hall and over my lunch break, I might add, worked with my independent study student on her FFA proficiency application. Fifth hour, small animals practiced suturing on bananas. Sixth hour, wildlife management designed food plots for white-tailed deer. And my seventh hour, agribusiness used the farming game to learn about good record keeping and financial documents. It was a very busy day. Many of the courses at Fairmont utilize something called the Curriculum for Agricultural Sciences Education, also known as CASE. CASE classes are designed by the National Council on Ag Education to raise the rigor and relevance of ag education across the nation, as well as incorporate national standards in math, science, and English language arts into core ag classes. Many ag educators across Minnesota are working hard to incorporate standards from other disciplines as well. Arts, economics, math, English, biology, physics, chemistry, and even the Common Core all have a place in agricultural education because our courses provide a hands-on application of understanding gained in core classes. Many schools also offer dual credit for agriculture classes in order to help our students meet Minnesota graduation requirements. Additionally, because agriculture education covers such a broad spectrum, there are opportunities for every student to develop skills for college and career readiness at every level. Whether you want to pursue an 18-month welding certificate or a master's degree in genetic engineering, there is a place in agriculture for all of my students. Because the knowledge base of the ag teacher is so diverse, we also need to recognize that our ag teachers are diverse as well. We need to continue to welcome teachers from non-traditional backgrounds and take down some of the barriers that stand in the way of individuals who want to obtain a license to teach agriculture in Minnesota. Otherwise, we cannot hope to attract any teachers, let alone teachers, quality teachers with a passion for ag education. We also find that ag teachers don't just live in the classroom either, although sometimes we tend to feel that way. Between supervised on-the-job student placements, leadership camps and opportunities, professional development, and summertime activities for our FFA chapters like service projects, campouts, or the county fair, the job of the ag teacher is pretty much year-round. Last summer, looking at my calendar, I had around 30 free days, meaning that I had no school or FFA-related meetings or professional development conferences on my calendar. But if I didn't have anything on my schedule, I was usually at school, working in our new FFA garden or working closely with my students. While many schools offer some type of extended contract, those days don't even begin to cover the amount of time we spend with students. This type of year-round commitment is expected from all agriculture teachers, whether we are compensated for our time or not. I'd like to wrap up by discussing some of the challenges that are currently facing ag education in Minnesota. First and foremost, the agricultural education teacher shortage has to be addressed. I graduated from the University of Minnesota in 2010 with 15 other ag ed majors between the University of Minnesota and the Crookston campus, which no longer has ag ed. Of those 15, five of us are teaching. The rest are working in industry. I love my job. However, I sometimes do get jealous of my friends who drive company trucks and have more than 2 paid vacation days. We've got to do a better job of making ag education a competitive career choice for our students. Extended contracts and loan forgiveness for ag education teachers are a really great start. Additionally, supporting quality teacher development programs at the collegiate level will help us turn out ag educators that won't burn out easily. There's a large amount of turnover and instability in ag education from year to year, which is not conducive to creating the quality programs we need to expect. For example, Stock Rapids Rice, my first teaching job, has had at least 6 different ag instructors in the last 10 years. There were around 40 position openings in agriculture education in Minnesota this past year. We need to figure out ways to attract new teachers and keep our great teachers in the classroom. I mentioned earlier that no one remembers why Fairmont, my current teaching position, closed over 25 years ago. Could have been closed due to lack of interest or lack of funding or lack of a qualified ag instructor. If you remember, I also said that it doesn't really matter why the program closed in the first place, but what I want you to remember is that it could have been prevented. By working together, we have the power to control all 3 of these reasons. By helping our teachers use cutting-edge curriculum and technology, we can generate interest in our classes. By soliciting legislative and industry support, we can provide adequate funding for all of our programs. By finding ways to support our current teachers, we can ensure that qualified, passionate, knowledgeable individuals will be attracted to ag education. 25 years without an ag program at a high school the size of Fairmont means that nearly 4,000 students moved through our district without even the opportunity to explore a career field that employs nearly 20% of our nation's workforce. All students in Minnesota deserve the opportunity to explore all career pathways. Together, we can provide them with the tools to do so. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your support of agriculture, food, and natural resource education.
Thank you very much for that presentation, Ms. Seinbert. Questions, Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I had a question right away, but she answered it. I should have known. I got ahead of myself, I guess. But thank you for your testimony. Very impactful, very powerful, and I appreciate it. Thank you for all that you do as well.
I would agree with that. Just outstanding. And could you give us an idea how big a school Fairmont is and what size classes you have there?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When I started at Fairmont, my very first year, I would guess that classes range between 25 and 30, depending on most of our core classes, history, things like that, are 25 and 30 students per teacher per class. We do graduate between anywhere between 100 and 150 students in any given year.
Okay. You also mentioned the dual credit. Could you explain that a bit and explain to us that a class in agronomy, for example, could count as a math credit? Could you go through that?
Mm-hmm. Through the work that's been done here at the legislature, we're allowed to offer science credit and an economics credit for some of our classes. So, for example, if I were to, which I don't teach, but if I were to teach an ag economics class, that would not only count for an elective ag credit, but also as an economics credit in order to fill their requirements for graduation. Many ag classes also count as chemistry or count to meet chemistry or biology requirements. I'm currently writing a class in food science and chemistry that will hopefully next year be allowed to offer by my district in order to help my students meet a chemistry requirement. So they wouldn't have to take chemistry, they could take food chemistry instead of typical chemistry.
That's great. Very great. Any other questions? Representative Bly.
Thank you, Chair. I was curious to hear what you're saying because what you do as an ag teacher reminds me a lot of what Representative Marquardt in his bill, The World's Best Workforce, was hoping that communities and school districts would do, and that is to put together potential jobs. My question really is, has your superintendent recognized the kind of work that you do, and is he including you in that discussion about interacting with the community? Part of the reason I ask is I know of another FFA instructor who had trouble with the superintendent recognizing the importance of making that connection with the community and the workforce.
Ms. Seibert?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's a really excellent question. And our superintendent, we're very lucky at Fairmont to have a superintendent that is extremely passionate about career and technical education overall, not just ag education. He has been a supporter from the beginning of my program specifically, and before I got there, the career and tech education. We have an excellent career and tech education program at Fairmont. He has been in my classroom a number of times, and he is very excited about the idea of incorporating World's Best Workforce into what we do. Our professional learning community in the CTE area, career and technical education, at Fairmont, has started to work on how we can continue to incorporate that into a lot of our classes and continue to give our students that real-life experience that they're going to need after they graduate.
Great. Thank you.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, you're phenomenal. And you are. Your passion and everything else is exciting. And yesterday before committee, Representative Kahn came up to me, and she talked about the need to get agriculture and more schools and around the metro area as well. And there's a wonderful instructor at Highland Park, Mr. Peter Brown. Mm-hmm. He's phenomenal, right? And so if we can embrace that as well, and, you know, you guys give us some ideas and suggestions too. I know that Chair Poppy is extremely passionate about this ag education and stuff. We can do some good things here to address these deficiencies all across the high schools, all across the state. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next we have Eric Sawatsky.
Very well done, yes. Well, it helps that you have a Representative Sawatsky now, so you can pronounce Sawatsky very easily. Thank
could you.
You
say your name. Say your name for the test for the record.
Sure
please.
Thing. Eric Sawatsky. Thank you.
So
I want to continue on after Amber gave a great example of many of the great things that are happening in ag education, and follow up with what Brady talked about with our three circle model, the three key things that we focus on in our program. So I'm going to go ahead and do that now. So again, my name is Eric Sawatsky. I teach agriculture at Dassel Cokato High School in central Minnesota. And at Dassel Cokato, we're a school of a graduating class of about 150 students, and in a community that has about 100 small businesses ranging from from everything retail, manufacturing, to agribusiness. So a very up-and-coming economy in our area and very progressive. And because of that progressive small business industry, they're very supportive of the education of the community. And that's why we really believe that that's the support that has caused our ag program to have a lot of success over the last decade. The Dasco Cato Agricultural Education Program provides industry standard training in a wide variety of career pathways to a diverse group of students. Every student that is enrolled in an agriculture course at the high school is automatically enrolled in FFA. Currently, there are just under 250 ag education students at Dasco Cato, all exposed to the opportunities available to ag ed students through coursework, FFA membership, and experiential-based learning. All agricultural education students are provided with equal access to all three components of ag ed, which provides for a complete learning experience. The first component of ag education is the regular classroom experience that Amber also spoke of. Through their coursework at Dasco Cato, students are trained in career pathways from agribusiness and animal science to ag mechanics and wildlife management. There are even opportunities to earn college credit through articulation agreements with the MinSCU system and a college in the schools course in horticulture. Our school board has set a goal of providing even more opportunities for students in career and tech education, especially in ag education. We're formulating a growth plan that may include even more advanced training in these same areas of agronomy, animal science, advanced agricultural mechanics, in which our students will earn credentials which are useful in today's career paths. Credentials such as career commercial driver's license, custom pesticide applicator license, certified crop advisor, pork quality assurance, beef quality assurance, and the likes. These credentials will help make our students some of the most marketable potential employees in the workforce. The second component of a complete ag ed program is FFA membership. As members of the FFA, these students practice practical career skills through career development events, including our Dasco Cato FFA Food Science Championship team, who are being applauded by companies in Minnesota, just like General Mills, for the work that they're doing to learn the technical skills in the food science industry. Members work hard to educate the public about agriculture, including an event each spring in which Dasco Cato FFA members partner with Brady's chapter and Morris FFA to bring animals to the state fairgrounds and teach hundreds of third graders from Minneapolis and St. Paul schools about where their food comes from. As Thomas Friedman clearly points out in his books and articles, the world has flattened, and we need to train our workforce to understand their greater connectedness to the rest of the world. To support this, our FFA chapter is embarking on a two-week trip to South Africa this August to work with agricultural economists to learn about the entire agricultural production system of their country. This trip will help our students and our community to realize how small and interconnected our world really is. I want to take this opportunity to thank the Minnesota Ag Ed Leadership Council, otherwise known as MEALC, to providing our group some of the funding for that trip. Without groups like MEALC and other organizations that are supporting ag education, we wouldn't even be able to dream of taking our students out and showing them what the real world looks like outside of their community. The final and arguably most critical component of ag education is the student supervised agricultural experience, otherwise known as an SAE. All students complete experiential-based learning projects in which they connect the learning in the classroom and FFA to their daily lives. Whether a student works at a local veterinary office, grows vegetables to sell at the end of their driveway, or raises their own herd of registered Angus beef, all will learn how to communicate the skills that they have learned, develop a plan to become financially secure, and set goals for further development of those career opportunities. Our students are utilizing these three components of ag education to develop a career plan that is comprehensive and challenging. Agriculture teachers work year-round to ensure that their students are developing into the types of leaders we need in the agriculture industry and in the workforce as a whole. The summer months are extremely important to Minnesota's agricultural industry. Agriculture teachers spend their entire summer conducting worksite visits for supervised ag experiences, training FFA officer teams to lead their chapter into the next year, and preparing their students for county and state fairs. Extended, or sometimes called summer contracts, need to be expanded so that our teachers can be able to provide training year-round. For the 2013-14 school year, 31% of Minnesota ag teachers had zero extended days on their contract, while only one quarter of the teachers in the state of Minnesota had an extended contract of more than 20 days. Personally, I have an extended contract of 22 days that I utilize for the work that I do in the summer, and I can barely complete the work that needs to be done for my students with that limited amount of time. We in ag education live for the opportunity to help our students develop career and life skills that will make them the best employees and entrepreneurs that they can possibly be. It is time for us to match the contract language with the actual work performance that agriculture teachers have been putting out every single year. Here in Minnesota, over 230 ag teachers working in over 190 school districts are some of the key leaders in developing a generation of Minnesotans that will help solve some incredibly challenging issues. Minnesota agriculturalists have been and will continue to be a major player in finding ways to help feed the 9 billion people that will fill this earth by the year 2050. By utilizing relevant, rigorous training in ag education, we are preparing our students to take the lead role in an industry that creates $75 billion of economic activity to this state. Minnesota Department of Agriculture states that there are over 1,000 ag and food companies based here in Minnesota. Companies such as General Mills, Schwann's, Cargill, CHS, Land O'Lakes, Super Value, Christensen Farms, Golden Plump, Genio, and so many more are going to need the best trained workforce in the world to be able to continue to make strides toward providing a safe, abundant food supply for years to come. As our state demographer pointed out last week, we'll add over 600,000 senior citizens to our state by the year 2030, and in that same time, we will only increase our workforce by 2,000 workers, or 12,000 workers. Simply stated, we need to have highly productive workers if we are going to grow our economy. We must start with an educated base coming out of our public education system. Agricultural educators are providing skilled training at the highest level. One final issue that we continue to struggle with in meeting the demand for ag teachers is that we are perpetually in need of more educators to fill vacancies across the state. The drawback to having such a large agribusiness presence in the state is that those companies compete directly with schools for the best employees. Many of our most talented and impactful agriculture teachers get recruited away from the classroom for higher pay and less demanding work schedules. By building support through extended contracts and other initiatives such as loan forgiveness programs for students who earn a degree in ag education and stay in the teaching profession, we will be able to retain those highly skilled and effective teachers in our field. If we're going to see a Minnesota agriculture education system that is fully prepared to train this vital workforce in the 21st century, then we must first support our agriculture teachers. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Sawatsky. Any questions from members? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Sawatsky, and also Ms. Seibert. I just want to muse just for a moment and ask a question about your work with the experiential education. The other day I met with Senator Dames, and I met with the New Ulm School Board, and they have and I'm talking partly to my colleagues who sit on the Ag Policy Committee. There's an important connection, I think, here. They're having trouble attracting teachers in the trades. And I thought about the efforts and the united work that we're hearing about today between agricultural industry and ag education to make sure we can maintain ag education. And I thought that there may be a model there. And the second thought I had is last summer, Governor Dayton was in Mankato and visited MTU Onsite Energy, and it was a group hosted by Mankato School District 77, and they're incorporating internships for high school students in industry. And I think, and I knew right away, one of the problems with that is, and this is partly as an educator at the university level, is the supervision of experiential education can be very challenging. My first point is that there's some connections here, and I think we can not only help ag education meet your challenges, but I think ag educators can help the state address some of the larger workforce challenges we're facing. And so I invite you to be involved with that. But my question is your preparation to work to supervise the experiential education. That's not a simple matter. And how you're trained in that and how you learn and how you develop and grow to make sure that that's a valuable learning experience for your students.
Yeah, and I would agree. And when we talk about the world's best workforce, we fall right into that. And when we talk about experiential learning, ag educators that go to the University of Minnesota get certified in work-based learning, and so we have the certification that we've earned at the university, and develop a plan for students so that when they go out, for instance, currently I have a coursework in work-based learning where the students will go to local businesses and they'll work at a Faribault Foods, for example, and they would learn about their work all the way from the beginning process of bringing in the sweet corn crop to the point of marketing and communicate the sweet corn crop to the point of marketing and communications and food safety. And so we need to get out there. We need the time in the classroom to be able to get out there and visit those students. And that's probably the toughest part, is that as schools had to cut budgets, they required us to stay in the classroom and take care of 20 students at a time, or 25 or 30. And in work-based program type learning, you need to have about a half an hour per week per student that's out in the workforce so that you can get out there and do visits, site visits, talk with supervisors, and make sure that those students are getting a solid training. Because I know that our administrators and even ourselves, we don't want our students to just go back to dad's farm because dad's going to get some free labor and he gets a credit in school. That's not what we're trying to do. We want that student in the dairy industry to understand everything from full aspect, pedigree and selection of animals, and maybe look into the dairy processing side and work for First District out of Litchfield, whatever it may be. So we need to have time for those students to be out of the school before they leave high school and get some of those experiences, but we need to have the time to be able to provide that that work with the supervisors to ensure that they are getting a full spectrum education while they're on the work apprenticeship or internship.
Any other questions? If not, we have one more testifier, Mike Sadamka. One quick thought is you two leave. Ms. Seibert, you mentioned there were 5 or 15 students graduating from the U of M. Was that the entire number of students who were in Ag Ed? Okay, she's saying yes. Mm-hmm. Welcome and identify yourself for the record, please.
Welcome. My name is Mike Sadamka. I'm the principal at Humboldt High School right here in St. Paul. Humboldt High School serves approximately 1,170 students in grades 6 through 12. And we've started an agriculture program 6 years ago. I brought some of my students and my teachers for my ag program. Ag Ed isn't just about being a farmer. It involves fish and wildlife management, animal care, landscaping, biofuels, alternative energy, water management, pollution control, aquaponics, small and large engine repair, and home maintenance. Our ag programs within the city are about sustainability of resources, which really equates to saving money. As a school which started an ag program in the city, we were the first school that started an ag program in our urban center. And how we went about doing that, we were a school improvement grant school. We were one of the persistently low-achieving schools in the state of Minnesota. So part of our restructuring, we had a series of community meetings. And through those community meetings, my community came forth and said, we would like to have an environmental studies and an ag program at Humboldt High School. So this was not a school-based decision. This was a City of St. Paul decision, and through the series of meetings. They recognize that we need to be saving money as residents. We need our students to be educated and be able to be productive citizens, more than just the reading, math, science, and social studies, and how does that integrate into life? An ag teacher has more training in economics than a social studies teacher. They have significant plant and animal science training. Our students can earn credits in multiple ways, and we're expanding our current programming to see how we can be moving from taking our gardens and using the food that we're producing into the cafeteria. We have a number of collaborative partnerships, whether it's with the University of Minnesota or AgriBank. We also have, we're partnering with our FFA chapters across the state and are competing with our FFA chapters, and I brought some of our students. I am open for questions as to, because I've heard we're here as to why did you start a program, so.
Boy, that's an amazing story. You know, as others may have questions, quick one I thought of. You've had this in place for a while.
This is our sixth year, excuse me.
Okay, so maybe it's not quite long enough, but we hear great stories and results in the career tech ed classes. Mm-hmm. It helps your graduation rates, your absentee going down. Can you tell us anything?
Well, yes, the graduation rate actually has increased from when we were a school improvement grant school to below 50% to over 70%, and we're catching up to the state average. So, and I would couple that with our career and tech ed classes by engaging our students with more hands-on activities, by getting them involved outside of the classroom and engaged. They are recognizing the meaning behind their education and see the support of that. So, and the relevance and rigor that is involved. The partnership with the University of Minnesota Plant and Animal Science. We're going out to the U of M, and we're going field trips to the U of M. We're starting a college in the schools classes to be engaging our kids, to be providing additional credit for post-secondary credit in our school.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and a thousand thank yous to you as well. It's fantastic, and I'd heard about Humboldt High School. And actually, I graduated Humboldt High School from Humboldt High School, but it was in Iowa. So, you know, absolutely phenomenal what you're doing there as well. And if you don't mind, could we hear a little bit from the students as far as their experience and whatnot? Not to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah. Yeah, just tell us who you are and in the your thoughts about what FFA or ag classes have done for you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Genesis Gonzalez Perez. Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and representatives, for having us here today. And this is actually my first year as an FFA member. And what did you want to know again, please?
Representative Hamilton, do you have follow-up?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to know about your experience being involved in the agriculture, you know, the ag classes and whatnot. I mean, some of the things that you're being exposed to there at Humboldt High School.
So far, we're being exposed to, like, different sections of which we can be a part of when it comes to, like, the agricultural part of the FFA. And so far, I'm in fish and wildlife, which is my part, since... And I'm, like, also one of my group members is here with me that's in the same, like, group as me. And so far, we have been doing fundraisers as well. And from what I've heard, we're going to start building a greenhouse for our school, but also for our community. Because it's, like, a big part of agriculture.
Thank you.
Very good.
Hello, I'm Abril Flores. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and the representative. So far, like she said, we're doing fundraisers for the greenhouse, and yeah.
I just thought of a question to ask either one of you. You know, we hear that there's a disconnect between the farm and people that live in the cities, and has this at all helped you understand or realized where all of our food comes from? Have you talked about those types of thing? Has it given you a better understanding of agriculture in general?
Yes, it actually does, especially since one of our curriculars curricular classes is actually fish and wildlife, and I took that last year, and I remember most of the things they've told us from that. And due to that, that's also run by FFA, by Miss Matholi over here.
Okay.
She taught us more about agriculture when it comes to here in Minnesota or throughout the country.
Very good. Thank you very much. And one more young lady who would like to tell us who she is and what wearing that blue jacket means to you.
Hello, my name is Jessica Maddox Foster. I'm currently a student at Humboldt, have been for the last 4 years. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and representatives, for having us here today. I had been in FFA as a seventh grader at Humboldt, my first year coming in, and I ended up leaving the group because I was in classes that I felt like I just needed to get away from it. But I had taken a small animals class, and this year, currently, I am taking a natural resources class, and during the natural resources class, we had went on a field trip, and we'd actually gotten to do a job that we would have done if we were actually going to pursue a career in this field of agriculture. And after we took that field trip, I joined FFA again. FFA to me is being able to support your community throughout a different type of things. You can do agriculture, you can do like animals, it doesn't matter what you do. But for me, it was a way for me to stay in a group with a group of people and also be able to help my community. As Genesis said, we do want to build a greenhouse. We want to be able to help our community. And being in a city opposed to being in a smaller town is why we want to do these things, because we are city children. And people do think that makes us different from the people who have smaller towns and have farms in their towns. But my grandmother is from Southwest Minnesota, and she now lives here. And she actually comes to our house. She plants and everything. And I get to learn from her. And it's also helped me throughout FFA, and it's also given us other alternatives, like using different types of energy instead of what we have now. So that's what FFA is to me.
Thank you very much. Representative Backer.
Mr. Chairman, just a question. In your school, and can be answered by the principal or any of the students, how many students are taking FFA classes approximately?
We have 36 students currently in FFA.
Okay.
And
what grades, please?
6 through 12.
Okay, good.
But currently we are working on turning FFA into an after-school program as well as an in-school program, so that you would get more help finding jobs in the area and also being able to go out to competitions and compete. So,
thank you.
We're so glad you came, you students and teachers. This kind of made our day to hear this. You're doing just a great job. Representative Hamilton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to echo that same thing. You guys are great. And so I don't think you're nervous at all, are you, coming here and testifying? you did such a great job, and hats off to your teachers as well. I mean, coming here and all of a sudden you're fielding questions. I don't know if you knew that they were coming, but you did a fantastic job. So I hope you're going home very proud of yourselves. It's all three of you are wonderful.
Representative Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I also want to echo, you know, we hear so much about the dismal graduation rates coming out of Minneapolis and St. Paul, and to know that you had a struggle at one point and decided to, as a community, put your heads together and figure out how can you raise that achievement gap up and graduate more students. So I think that is a testimony to all schools in the state, and just thank you for sharing your story.
We just have a couple of minutes left. Could your instructors sit down and just quickly tell us the challenges they have faced in getting this program off the ground? It's obviously so successful in terms of impact you've had on kids. We just want to say thank you, and could you just identify yourselves and
absolutely.
Talk a little
thank
bit.
You, Chair, and thank you, Representatives. I actually came from the south of Dallas, Texas. So,
and your name, sir?
T.J. Austin.
Okay.
I came to Humboldt 2 years ago. I saw an opening. I majored in Ag Ed in Texas, and I saw an opening here at Humboldt, and I looked on the map to see where exactly Humboldt High School was, and I saw it was in downtown St. Paul, and I said, agriculture in the city, I got to go see this. So growing up in Dallas, you know, I didn't have FFA in my high school, and I was kind of jealous of all the kids that did have it in the surrounding rural areas. So when I came into Humboldt, I realized not only by the population at our school, but talking to other ag teachers, Representative Hamilton mentioned Peter Brown. I'm sharing a room with him this Friday at the ag conference. The lady who started the program here at FFA 6 years ago, Julie Ketterling, I want to mention her name. She started the FFA program. So there's people in this area, in the city, that want to allow these children in the city to understand what agriculture is, where our food is coming from, because we're starting community gardens. Like some of the members said, we want to do a greenhouse. You know, we have backing. There's greenhouse opportunities. Community involvement right here in the city. So many of you say that you're from the farm ag country. These kids are from the city. So what did their students do? I represent a lot of the agriculture mechanics part of it. I teach small engines, home maintenance, like Mr. Sadampa said. A lot of these parents work in construction, work in small engines or auto bodies. So the classes I teach, they go out and they can go get a job immediately with their fathers, like you have passed on from your grandfather. I know that somebody bought a grandfather's ranch, you know, that's good, or farm. So these people can take over their family business. So I enjoy it a lot.
Thank you very much. Ma'am?
And my name is Andrea Antole. This is my second year at Humboldt as well. And the framework was laid by Julie, and Mr. Sadamka has been a huge supporter of the ag program. And it's a matter of trying to getting the kids to understand where their food comes from. I grew up on a dairy farm in central Wisconsin, been involved with agriculture since day one, and trying to impress upon the kids as to why it's important that we know where our food comes from, what kind of roles we can take here in St. Paul about producing our own food, growing our own food locally. And one of the things that we're looking at is, one of you had mentioned something about a CSA, working with CSAs, as that's what we want to try to do also through the school, and growing food for to be used in the cafeteria at the school. So getting that connection between the kids and the food production and the fish and wildlife, the natural resources, and there's so many different areas within agriculture to get all of the kids' interests to be met.
Thank you all very much. We have to wind things up here pretty quickly, but Mr. Sadamka, just one last quick question. Are other schools in St. Paul or the metro area looking at what you're doing and trying to emulate it?
Yes. Highland Park High School has also added an ag program, and also the Agriculture and Food and Natural Resources School in Falcon Heights. There is it's a charter school that also. But as a district, that's something that I'm trying to impress upon with my colleagues, that an ag teacher really is more credentialed and can offer more opportunities for schools than simply an automotives teacher or a social studies teacher. There is more electives that they can be offering. There is more core content that they can also be offering. So the strength of ag teachers and the marketability of them really is a benefit to all of our schools.
Okay, thank you much, and thank you all as well very much. Really appreciated your testimony today. Again, we meet next Wednesday, but there is going to be a joint meeting tomorrow at the same time here. If you have this time free tomorrow, Thursday morning, a joint policy and finance meeting, and we'll have Commissioner Fredrickson doing kind of a walkthrough of some of the things at the Department of Ag. So thank you for coming today, and we'll see you tomorrow, if not tomorrow, next Wednesday. Meeting's adjourned.